There's no such thing as being shadow banned, and Jayo is here to prove it in this conversation, breaking down how he took artists who couldn't get 1,000 views on their content to getting millions of views just like that. Now, that's just a little bit of it, because Jayo breaks down one small thing that you can do to brand yourself in a way that people won't forget. And I promise you've never heard this trick before. He breaks down a management deal he had as an artist that lost him tens of thousands of dollars, the ups and downs, the legitimate experience from an artist who's in it and going viral many times over. If you're an artist or manager and you plan to really be in this music thing and you don't check out this full conversation with Jayo now, you regret it later. I can promise you that. What's up, what's up, what's up, up, Brand Man Sean?
And I'm Corey.
And we are back with another episode of No Labels Necessary Podcast. You can catch us wherever you listen or watch videos, stream podcasts, here at the intersection of creative and currency. And boy, we got a story for y'all today. Someone who has went from school teacher to content creator, artist extraordinaire, popping, blowing other artists up. It's the whole shebang. Jayo, who is here with us today, has lived an interesting life, and I think y'all will be able to get a lot. But the subject number one, matter of fact, I want to start off with, before I even let you talk, Jayo. Jayo says, ain't no such thing as being shadow banned, man. And he has an answer for y'all of what's really going on, and he's actually going to prove it to you and speak about how he's helped break some other artists as an artist as well. Talk to him, man.
Hey, ain't no such thing as being shadow banned. Your content's just ass, all right? So this is something I got to tell myself. I have to remind myself, because there's eras where, you know, like my content and my views are going down. And I think I heard Mr. Beast even say like a quote. He's like, replace the word algorithm with audience. And that's how you're going to like frame your mindset when you're making content. So, yeah, I've worked with other artists that can't seem to crack the code or figure out what's going on TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is with content. Because usually when a video does well, it does well on multiple platforms. But sometimes there's cases where it only does well on one platform. But which both are a sign of something, you know, like there are different audiences on each platform. But yeah, a good video will take off somewhere. So definitely post everywhere. But yeah, I've seen artists that can't crack 1,000 views and or can't, you know, get anything to pop, and just doing the right type of video, we've been able to hit a mil or more. So
wait, yeah. So you say that so quickly, but I think we need to like really settle on that and then get into the how of that as well. You said, hey, these artists can't crack 1,000 views. And then I take them under my bosom. And now they're doing 1,000,000+ views, right? What exactly is happening? Like, there's this one concept, you know, you sent me with, what's her name, Amy Vont or Carissa Bone?
Yeah, that's one I did recently, most recently, Amy Vont. Shout out, Amy. And Nash. Nash is a co-artist on that song, and he's a big artist. So, yeah, they hit me up. They hit me up first with ideas, and I just gave him some ideas back, like, you know, as a homie, and came back and was like, yo, can you actually, like, take over this campaign? And I noticed, like, just going through her page, like, she couldn't really, like, crack 1,000, definitely not consistently, and everything felt kind of addy. And I try to remind people, like, when you are advertising your music, it's kind of like selling a shirt. Like, if every single video is about this shirt, people aren't going to listen, and you're kind of losing your core audience in the first 2 seconds, because that's all you really have. Because the second they see your video, it's like, oh, he's selling me something again. Like, you have to give. Like, you have to give entertainment. You have to give something of value, whether it's educationally or entertainment-wise. So that was, like, just the first thing I was noticing. Everything was just an ad. It was like, she's trying to perform a song, and this. Same thing with most artists that I see. It's like, they're just trying to force and shove their song down people's throats. It's not going to work. Like, sometimes that's not the first thing people want to see from you. And you got to build that rapport with an audience where you're giving, giving, giving. And then it's like, hey, I want to, you know, now that you've been watching and receiving from me, can you check out this song, you know, type thing. But that being said, I got hired for a campaign. It's not like a long route. I didn't have time to just build her audience and like, let's just do non-music related stuff yet. So it was like, the song's coming out. Let's promote this song. So, yeah, there's formats out there that are usually trending. So you can really like find and see what you see on your For You page as you're exploring. Like, when you see these music artists promoting, what's working and why is it working? And if you can't break down why it's working, then that's when like you kind of need to really get that like radar and really analyze videos, to be like, okay, what's happening in the first 2 seconds? Who is their target audience? Who are the people that are sharing this? Because why does it have so many shares? Who are they sharing it with? Like, what is the feeling that this is giving people? And answering those type of questions is going to get your framework around like what went behind that video and what you could put behind your video to make it different. Because you don't want to steal, you want to like be inspired by art. So I think that was just what it was coming down to this video. So yeah.
It's interesting you say that because yes, there's formats out there, right? But I feel like it's different today, where before there was so much on TikTok, especially just ripping the format and iterating in the format, and everybody was doing it at the same time. But it's a lot less of like these massive things that are all working right now and trending, and more so there might be one thing individually, and there's a couple other people that'll take that thing. And then there's another thing that's working. And then there might be four or five people that take that thing. And I like it that way because it's more selective, right? This one, for example, I'll tell you, me and Corey, like both thought when we saw this campaign, we were thinking about Johnny Two Phones, an artist we work with, and because you had the sign. And we've seen multiple artists do something with the sign since he was popping with it last year. But it's not like we've seen all the artists do it, right? And arguably, what you're doing is nothing like his in its own way. So I would love to hear how you thought about that, and if that was your reference point too.
Yeah, I love Johnny. Definitely, like I've tried to do Johnny Demon style video and like try to make it. I tried to do my own spin for my own page because like I was trying to do it where I had people dance, but like when they put on the headphones, it's like there's a sniper on the roof. You better dance to survive type thing. So I try to do like I always try to make it a comedic twist because I grew my audience off comedy. So I'm still in my wave where I'm trying to convert people. I've been doing that for the last couple of years. So that was my own spin on it. It didn't do crazy good. It did better on YouTube, but that's what I was saying. Like sometimes videos do better on different platforms. But as far as like the style that we were doing with Amy, first person I think I saw do it was John Michael. He's a TikTok artist that really kills it. And then recently High Forest. That's his app, but his artist name is Forest. He's done it and it blew up like multiple times on IG. Literally to a T. And it's funny because the editor that I have helping me on this edit, which I could edit it, but it's more so just my time that I have. And it's really hard to find editors that could edit the style that I'm thinking of. The editor that I know actually did John Michael's. So funny enough, he's actually the person in the original video. So it just worked out that I know him. We just shot a few music videos. I was like, yo, let's work it out. Let's do some of these videos. So he knew the format already and it ease my mind because like they say the easiest way to be successful as a business is duplicating yourself, and this has been the best aspect where I really feel like I could duplicate myself in Ross, that's his name. So yeah, like getting the people that know how, like in the first 2 seconds of making a cut, the wording, having the words be big, legible, the zoom cuts, and really just the ADHD type editing
Hold
in
up, hold
such a
up, man.
simple
You,
format.
you, you're, you're zooming through this stuff because this is like how you think normally.
My bad.
But I want you to, like, since you are touching on this, can you like break it down as if you were like teaching us? You know what I mean? Like, what are the things in the video? Because you've been going viral for a long time now. Like, how do you do this?
There's definitely like things like so first two questions I always ask myself, it's like one, if someone random was watching this, would they share this video? And two, who would they share it with? So definitely want to have a target audience when you think of an idea. So for example, Amy's the sign is like what we were trying to figure out. The longest thing to brainstorm was what the sign was going to say, even though it seems so simple. But the longest thing we had to brainstorm was what the sign was going to say because it needed to relate to an audience, and that's what's going to hook people in that relate. And that sign saying "sit here if you're in a situationship" is a great hook because it's like it's not everybody, but it's relatable enough to where a large majority of people either have been or are in one currently to stay and sit and be there, mind you. So I'm mainly just talking about the content process, and then I'll talk about like little hacks. I don't really think like hacks alone can make you viral. A lot of people like to focus on the hacks, like, oh, what hashtag to use, what this to use, and this is that. And it's like, that's not what's gonna make you viral. That can help like your SEO and getting your video found later. and can help like propel your video to the right audience in the beginning, but that alone won't make you viral. A viral video comes from the content side. So I'm going to talk about the content and then I'll bring over the hacks. So content side, you want to be able to think of like what's your target audience when you're making a video and communicate with that. So that being said, in the content itself too, you want to be dynamic and cater to ADHD because not a lot of people. That's crazy.
I'm like,
You're like, I'm not tripping. I'm not, not a lot of people can. Wow, ADHD is crazy. I think it helps that I have ADHD when I'm editing because I'm like, what do I get bored at? And that's a really important thing to do when you're editing because ask yourself, where do you get bored? It's a lot of people's shots just off rip.
hold up, but because you got to continue with the train of thought that you were on, but for those who are just listening on the podcast, Jail's talking and fireworks just erupted behind him. I don't know what Zoom is doing right now. I've never seen this, but it's crazy. He looked rather magical.
iOS 7, whatever iOS we on, they have like some things. I talk with my hands, and some hand gestures trigger different animations in the background. So I was triggering thumbs ups and fireworks. And my ADHD has gone all over the place, but I'm trying to remember where I was at. I was talking about the content side and making good content before worrying about the hacks. So yeah, definitely with like the good content, you want to have a target audience. And like, for example, I honestly like even if we did a game where you pulled up a viral video, I could tell you why it went viral. Like that's the point that I'm at. Like that's the easier route to like show people. It's like because people think it's all accidental and. Especially if it goes viral multiple times, it's not accidental. And don't chase the exception to the rule, chase like the rule. Like people will look at videos and be like, oh, this went viral though. And it's like, that's the exception. Maybe there's one video out of 200,000 or one video out of 200 that are like, this doesn't really have a meaning and it took off. And it's like, are you going to chase the exception to the rule or are you going to chase the rule? Like this is going to get you more results and get you an audience versus trying to chase. This one exception of crazy artistic chance. So yeah, that's how it is with that. So with targeting audience, we asked are you in to hear if you're in a situationship. And that is an audience of people that we wanted to target because the song was solving that issue. This is specifically for that format of the video. In the video, someone comes sit down. And she asks them about the situationship and tells the woman to call her situationship guy. As she calls the guy, she plays a song to them that says, "Do you love me? Do you love me or not?" And essentially, we are solving and remedying this like situationship with the song. So that's like the format that came from John Michael. He said, "If you're having a bad day, sit here," and he plays a song about having a good day. Same thing with High Forest. It's like you're solving the issue with the song and it makes people feel good. Thus, people share the video and stuff. And you don't want to drag out the ending too long. So, in the content side of things, beginning hooking people in is important, giving people the substance, and then not dragging out the outro. Like you kind of want to tail it off right at the climax, if not barely after. And that way, people will feel like they want to watch it again. Because if that's what they get, like they want to watch this again. Or share it with somebody else to give them that same feeling, that's when you have a successful video. Because when the shares go up, most likely it's going viral. So yeah, that's one aspect of the viral part. And then on the other side, there's the little hacks and things to think about. Like always using a new feature is very important. Like Instagram right now has polls. Use that, drive it up. Like always use that. Like that's what we did on this video. Also, I was like, hey, like, because she wasn't crossing 1,000 views, like I said, this is a new feature. Let's use it. Let's ask people, are you in a situationship? And give the option of like yes and no, or maybe. And like that poll had over, I think over 1,000. I don't even know how many people saw like answered the question, but like people that don't want to comment are answering the poll, which is going to drive the engagement up on the video on IG. So wait till TikTok gets that feature. It's going to be kind of crazy too. So new features is always an important thing. Also like. You want to trick the apps to thinking that you edited in the app sometimes. So like sometimes I'll say like type a word or you could use words or like a period and drag it to the corner, somewhere hidden. And like that way the app thinks that you edited an app. I don't know if it's proven yet fully that that's true.
in that detail because I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, so that one, there's two sides of that. So like some people just like want the app to think that it's that you're editing in there. So for instance, like I put my titles per app. So like let's say I edit a video on CapCut. When I take it to TikTok, I might do the title there and I might do the title on IG. If I don't do that and I have the title from CapCut also there, I might type like a period, or I can type some SEO words relating to the video. Like sometimes I'll put similar artists like Nick D, Ty Vertiz, this and that, like stuff that I like to me, Anees, and then I'll hit hide it in the corner so that way the video is registering those keywords because I typed it within the app itself and it thinks that I edited the video in TikTok or I
So you're not
edited it
talking
in
about the
IG.
caption. You're talking about like literally on the video, and it's just like small in the corner of the
It's
screen.
like
Nobody's
not
not gonna
even
notice.
visible, super, super small. I hide it like kind of off the corner. Yeah. And I know a lot of content creators that do this.
Oh yeah, that's like old school SEO type stuff where
Yeah.
it'll be like between two paragraphs. There's actually a all white text paragraph that nobody knows is on the page because you're trying to use the
Exactly.
keywords.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. So you kind of do that with content. That's another hack. Like, and once again, hacks alone won't get you viral, but like making good videos and then adding these hacks give you the most probability for virality. Because virality still does have an element of chance, but like there's people that do it very consistently because they always provide the most like the thing that's gonna give the most chance for virality. And yeah, there's more of those, like I said, cutting, making sure there's a cut or a switch up in the first 2 seconds is a good one. And then adding topics on IG. It's a good one. Hashtags, like, yeah, maybe like three. I honestly like a hashtag is more SEO for me. It's not like that's definitely not what's going to make you viral. And I wish people knew that because that's always the first question I get when people ask me, like, yo, what hashtag should I be using? It's like, that's not what your focus should be on. It's damn near the last thing I care about. But yeah, so those things are off the top of the dome, some hacks and some things that I like to think about when I'm doing content.
I want to drop a quick note for anybody who has a fan problem, and not just any old fan problem, but the type of fan problem that we encountered after helping a lot of artists go viral, have a lot of success, get a lot of streams, but still not being able to know who exactly are my fans. How do I reach them? How do I actually leverage that to sell merch, go to a show? Because that's where Spotify leaves us without knowing who our real people are. Same for social media. If you've had this problem, I'll tell you how we've been solving it at our agency for a while now, and the pro version is just now being released to be accessible to any artist or manager out there. I'm talking about Forever Fan. A lot of the campaigns and successes that y'all have heard us talk about on this channel have been powered by that software that's made finding and understanding your true fans simple so they support you with their pockets. Because we all need a little money in this music thing. And now they're making it available to our audience for only $1 at foreverfanmusic.com/no labels. No labels with an S at the end. And you gotta put in the code no labels. All right? Now, look, the DSPs, the social media platforms, I think they've shown us how much they care about artists for a while now. So at this point, we can all play naive or actually do something about it. Bet on yourself at foreverfanmusic.com/no labels. And again, put in the code no labels to get initial access for only $1. Let's get back to this episode.
Yeah, so you said something earlier I thought was interesting, right? You said the Mr. Beast quote of replace algorithm with audience, and that typically is what your issue is. And Sean and I have said this for a couple of years where, we would tell people like, hey, the algorithm is really a reflection of the platform's audience mood change towards something, right? So like the example that comes up a lot is dance videos. And people are like, oh, like dance videos fell off. And it's like, well, they didn't just fall off out of nowhere. TikTok as a whole just kind of got like sick of dance videos and the algorithm started to reflect that. So that makes me wonder, for someone like you, how much of your content creation process is just you pulling, unique ideas from your own brain versus you literally just reacting to like maybe what your audience is telling you they like or they want to see from you?
I mean, I must answer this in a way for like newbies as well as people that have been creating for a while. It's like you have to be constantly taking notes of like your ideas because you naturally as a creative person Which all of us are. We are creators, you know, made in the image of the creator. We are creators. We're all creators. So like we all come up with ideas and people just don't jot it down. Like we are forgetful people. And if you're just writing ideas down, like I have a long note list shared with one of my friends that like is super long. And I have another long note list with another friend. Then I have a song idea list and I have all these lists on my phone. So it's like constantly like those are my innovative ideas. And then on top of that, like I'm on IG or TikTok. And as I'm seeing ideas that might inspire me, I'm saving them in certain categories. Wasn't doing that before. I used to just save it in my DMs. That was like a whole funny thing too, because my friend would hate me. Because I'll save it by DMing it to a certain friend. He's like, why you keep sending me this? And I'm like, I want to react to this later or I want to come back to this. But now I'm like, okay, I'm actually bookmarking it and putting in albums. And like, this is things that you want to do because like, when, as long as you keep seeing these trends and keep seeing these things, it's going to inspire ideas. And then you can put your voice in it. Like, you know, I did that video where it was like, we're black artists and da 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 da. And that was like one of my recent ones that blew up. And it's a common trend, though. We're this, we're this. And yeah, you know, I've seen a few of them. I even in doing that, like it was one of the other artists, Jalen Sean, shout out, and Zach Paradise. Jalen came up with the idea and I was like, I've seen people do black artists. So I said, if we do this, I want to do it in a different way. And we do have like Zach in there. So I was like, they were like, oh, this also goes to the hack thing. Like, oh, let's put Zach third since it's like, and I'm like, no, you have 2 seconds to hook someone. If you're going to do this, Zach needs to be second. Like, you know, like the white boy needs to be second. Let's go. First one, we have to say a fire bar that's relatable. So that way we draw people in. So Jalen says, we're black artists. Of course, you assume I rap. And it's like, okay, that's relatable. That's hooking. And then immediately you see this white boy that's just like, staring. And like that alone was our hook. We knew we had people for like at least another 10-15 seconds. So as long as we kept them entertained, and then at the end of this thing we did a song promo. So yeah, that even slow burned and took off on both platforms, over a mil if not 2 mil on both platforms. So and even IG or YouTube is taking off a little bit. So yeah, that's like the mindset. It's like, okay, we target an audience and then it's still funny enough to hit like an overall audience, but like the main target audience is like people that listen or know black artists. Like we even mentioned some things like we get our chops from the church. We, you know, like Amen, Brother. Like there's like black jokes in there that like we knew our audience there, but then we also knew like the overall people would kind of like laugh at it in general. So yeah. I kind of like answer multiple questions in one, but I hope that can.
You did. And I actually want to get to some of the specifics around your particular artist's career. But before we get there, you said something interesting, and I think it goes down to so many levels. I don't think most artists need to get this scientific, but going back to the top, we'll start from the top. Mr. B says, not the algorithm, it's the audience, right? Well, which means if it's the audience, you have two versions of that. One, the audience is going to tell you if it's dope, but also you have to make sure it's being seen by the right audience in the first place, right? And there's different ways to do that. Things like hashtags do help with that over time. Just think, all the little things that help with the SEO are also helping the algorithm understand who's relevant to this, which is why we shouldn't do like random hashtags. We're not in that era. Exactly. Please, please stop doing random hashtags. It's only hurting you, literally, all right?
Yes.
So, all right, you gotta get seen by the right audience if there is an audience, right? Because you could just be getting negative feedback. You could be B.O.B. playing a guitar in a, you know, trap club in the middle of Atlanta. Of course you're getting booed. You know what I mean? So you find the right audience. And then once you have the right audience, the video itself has an audience of its own, where you said that that video specifically was for black artists, black people, right? That's not all your videos, right? Your videos hit a very diverse set of people. But that one, that core audience, right, would have to understand that. And that kind of guided the rest of the video. The jokes that you included, the like pattern interrupt with bringing the white boy in that one. And so it's really interesting, right? Whereas not just like who likes my stuff, right? But who am I resonating with in this particular video? No different than how the Situationship video, right, kind of touched on some things. That's where you took my mind as you spoke. And you touched, can you speak on a couple of those artists that you've helped beyond? We just went through the one girl, Yeah, but
yeah, I did. I was helping out Bryce Vine as well recently. Helped him, and then I did a video with Kyle as well. But Bryce's campaign was interesting, like because yeah, we met each other at a bar, and it was funny because when I was vibing with him, I didn't realize he was Bryce Vine, and some people don't even like recognize his name. Some people know his name, and the people that know his name, like me, sometimes don't know his face, and that was the case for me. Like I didn't even know he was Bryce Vine until the end when we were leaving. He's like, "Yo, grab my IG." He said Bryce Vine. I was like, "You're Bryce? Like what?" Like, bro, I used to listen to you in 2016. You're on my Uber playlist. And then he hit me up later, like, "Hey, I'm trying to do some content," and he was like, "I like your music. Like, I'll help you out with music if you help me out with like content." So I was like, "Word." And first thing I had to say, because like a lot of artists have like ego, I had to let him know, like, "Hey, honestly, I don't think a lot of people know your face." Like, like I had to let him know that. And like it's been a common thing with some other artists I also talk with, where it's like I have to talk about oops, sorry about that. I have to like discuss the fact that like, hey, some people might not know you like you think they know you. And let's play on that. Let's do interviews with the public and find out. So that's what we did with Bryce. I grabbed the mic, grabbed the camera, took him out to Hollywood Boulevard and say, "We're gonna play like your two biggest songs, which people recognize, some people, and we're gonna ask them who sang the song." And it was just a fun game. We'll ask people, and it kind of revealed something to him because he probably thought people automatically knew like it's Bryce Vine, but people are like, Drake, P. Diddy, Kid Cudi, like people are saying all these like crazy names. And they're like, "Oh yeah, I've heard this." And then the funniest part was when in one of the videos, this guy's like, "Oh, that's Bryce Vine." But he doesn't realize it's Bryce, like that's asking him this question. So then I behind the camera, I'm like, "Yo, like, can you describe what he looks like?" And you can hear my voice say that. And he's like, yeah, no, I couldn't tell you." And then Bryce like shows him a second song, and then he's like, "Oh, that's also Bryce Vine." So this video is just like a great moment where it's like people didn't recognize him, but yeah, I mean, his fans liked it, and then it also took off. That video has almost 1 million plays on TikTok, and yeah, it's one of those videos where it's like, hey, now you can attach the face to the song, because there's two sides of that goes into like music marketing in general. Like even with Amy, I was talking, you're like, there's two sides of this. There's like when you're marketing a song, there's the aspect of getting the song viral, where it's like you're getting people using the song. Then there's the aspect of attaching your name to the song and attaching you as an artist to the song. And those are two different campaigns. And sometimes people get lucky and it happens at the same time. A good friend I can think of, Paul Russell. I feel like most people know what he looks like, but like at the same time, there's probably a lot of people that don't because the song is superseded him. That song has gone to the freaking moon. And like, but the original videos where he was like, jamming and circling, people saw his face and like it got to be attached. I can name a hundred, like a bunch of songs that people couldn't tell you what the people look like that went viral on TikTok. So yeah, it's if that's the case, then you have to do some videos that are now showing your face and tying you to the song in a way.
Yeah, we actually just saw this post about Cookie Kawai talking about that, right? She was talking about how, a lot of people artistically give her credit for kind of setting off this new wave of like bounce music and the kind of club music, but the song was so much bigger than her that like she didn't have time to like get her face card to catch up to it. And now, we're retroactively looking back like, damn, like that should have been you know what I'm saying, kind of as the face of the scene. But yeah, you're right. It was a lot of TikTok artists at the time where I think because of how the platform was, it's just it moved the song at probably like 100x speed compared to where their resources could take them. And we're starting to see a lot of them kind of go through like the backlash of that, or the downside of that.
And I mean, to continue on that, I actually quote Brandman Sean all the time. I quote you from one of your videos in 2018 that I saw that was talking about branding and saying, if your brand isn't as strong, like if you can't be made a Halloween costume, your brand isn't strong enough. That's a huge part of like connecting yourself to
Thank you for that
your like
credit,
brand.
by the way, because that girl stole my concept.
I
I
mean,
meant to
oh
like
yeah.
do
Do
something
something
petty
petty
because
because
she
she
went
was
super
yeah, I did.
viral. I just thought
I
of this
sent you a video of
concept.
someone saying that.
Just stole my
Was like, "Yo,
concept.
this sounds like you." But yeah, Ice Spice is a great example of that. The song was super seen, but it was like she can be made a Halloween costume. People could dress as her. Khalid, Billie Eilish, Post Malone, like all these people, like you can really like dress as Michael Jackson. It goes on. Like these are icons, and that's what separated them. And even just having something little that kind of like makes people recognize you, whether it's sonically or physically or both, which is what great artists do. They have it on both sides. Like sonically, you can kind of sound like Ice Spice, but you can also look like Ice Spice. And if when you have that, that's when it's easier for you to not get buried or lost behind your song. So yeah, actually I was talking with Amy about that too. I actually looked at her top two videos and I was like, you know, your top two videos, you have braids. There it's like she has the bicolored hair where it's like one half blonde, one half brunette. But she was rocking it down recently. And I was like, your top two videos, you have braids in it. And like even for me in 2021, when I analyzed my top 10 videos, I had my afro, even though I used to wear hats a lot. I was like, all right, well, if my afro is what's going more viral, I need to like rock my afro more. Like meaning I gotta do my hair more. So I was like, with Amy, like, you gotta braid your hair next time we do the shoot. Like, yeah, the first one we did it without, but I was like, you have to braid it. Like, it's gonna just do better. And even off video, like, the compliments of the people around her that just came while we were shooting was like 10 times more people just coming up. And I was like,
The world is
I
telling you
guess, like,
something. The world is
just
telling you
people kept
something.
walking up and saying, like, oh, you're a hot girl. Like, this one guy specifically was just like, are you guys shooting a TikTok? You should be the hot girl on the TikTok. And I was like,
That's a wild like pickup line. Is
That's
that
some
what y'all
LA,
doing out
some
here?
LA shit,
It
man.
was Miami
It
moment. For Venice Beach, like, it was just
LA.
go on with yourself, man.
Oh, I'm glad you actually mentioned that though, because I used to talk about this more heavily, and sometimes it's just hard to repeat yourself when you feel like you put the YouTube video out there or whatever. But like you have a lot of things that are done intentionally when it comes to brand, but sometimes it's just, hey, I happen to go viral in this moment, or I happen to get a lot of attention in this moment. And for a second, you have to be frozen in time and lean into that moment. That means, oh, I was wearing a hoodie. Well, I have to wear that hoodie a little bit more while they still associate me with that look, right? Because I see
Yeah.
you in that hoodie. Or it's like, wait, wait, are you J.O.? I didn't know you were
Yeah.
J.O. until I heard you say you were J.O. And then you took your glasses off. It's like, oh, you are J.O. Or you put your glasses
Yeah.
on. And it's like, oh, you are J.O., right? Because like they're used to seeing you in a specific way. You have to give people time to recognize you in different iterations, you know?
Yeah, it's like Superman and Clark Kent. Like, there's a reason why they couldn't tell who he was.
That's what R. Kelly thought he was doing in that video, with saying that wasn't him when he had the mask on. I was like, bruh, we know you a little bit too well, bro. That mask ain't hiding. Unfortunately. But it is crazy though. It's like you have to just be aware, because I don't think that Ice Spice would have leaned into the afro as heavily, right? Because that's not her natural hair. A lot of people didn't even realize that. So then when they started seeing her without it, they were like, oh, whoa, I didn't know. And now for me still, and like I'm not like her primary demographic, but it's like it don't hit the same. She don't look like Ice Spice for me
Yeah.
yet, unless she got the Ice Spice look. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
you gotta, it's kind of just is what it is, and being aware. I've never heard anybody reference it that way though. Like looking at the videos and how you looked as a whole. I kind of done that. Well, we've done that. Like when we're analyzing an influencer and what are we going to use them for? What are they doing in the video? But just talking about is my hair braided or not? Do I have an afro or not? Like those specifics. It's like you are developing a look at the moment, you know?
Well, yeah, it was like it was a Halloween costume look. That was like you can literally she had a beanie and like her braids like two braids, one blonde, one brown. I'm like you can literally make this a wig. Like this could literally. So I'm like this it makes sense already as a brand. Why deviate and try to force something else? This already worked twice. Your top two videos, which or were her top two videos. Now the new video we did is now her top video, but like. I'm like, let's emphasize this. Let's use this more. So like all the new ones that we shot that are coming out soon are all with like her braids, and she's gonna pretty much rock that mostly for the, moving forward.
But
yeah, it made me think about something too that I just would love to get your thoughts on, right? Like, so if we think about TikTok in its let's say current iteration versus when it first popped, I feel like early TikTok artists could get away without having a super established brand, because a lot of times it was like other trends or It was somebody else's idea carrying the song like 9.5 times out of 10. Versus today, TikTok, a lot of the more viral videos like actually include the artists in it, right? Or include like them, like let's say out of 10, like at least like 7 or 8 of them are probably them like performing somewhere or doing something. So it feels like this new batch of artists and content creators using those platforms have to kind of care more about the brand and the look than let's say like the 2019 artists that were taking advantage of TikTok. One, you know, just what are your thoughts on that in general? Have you noticed something one way or the other? And then two, what advice would you give to the artists that are operating in like the new TikTok?
Yeah, I feel like that might just be a case of that being the gap of early TikTok, because it's like artists had to care about their brand before and now they have to care about it again. It's like maybe that was just like that 2-year span where, because it was so early on TikTok, that it didn't matter if a song blowing up was a song blown up. But then you look at it and it's like there still were iconic people blowing up in those times, you know, like Lil Nas X. I'm thinking like who else was early? Well, like, yeah, I could even 24K Golden, like, you know, like he kind of had a look like and you know, like I can register the look of his braids and so on, like with that. But yeah, there's definitely people that blew up without it. And I think like it's just getting back to that, because one, the market's getting oversaturated on TikTok again, so you just have to stand out in a way. Even when I think of like artists like D4, David, he has a Band-Aid, something as simple as that, and like just like being associated with something. And even if it's like glasses or like just if the way you look itself is unique, like that also works, like, you know, like that, like it just I don't know, that the audience kind of tells you what they like and you can kind of see that out. And I think like for new artists, just like, yeah, you don't want to do something that's unnatural to you. Like, yeah, I have like bright colors sometimes and like my background colors, but most of my stuff is neutral. Like most of my closet is like earth tones and neutral. Even when I'm making merch, I'm like trying to do earth tones and neutral with like a splash of color. Like you want to still be natural, but like find what is that edge that you can do that makes you, like, even when you think Kanye, like he has a look, he has a thing that makes it like, oh, this looks like Kanye. Even if you saw no Yeezy logo, you'd be like, this looks like Yeezy. Like, I think like thinking like that, like what makes you as an artist, and what and how do you want to inspire people in that, like as an artist being, you know, like your physical look is part of your artistry, like that is art. Like, and I think that's that might tie the connect the dots right there.
The only thing I'll combat that you said, I don't think the audience always tells you what they like, sure, but I think they will always tell you what's interesting to them, for better or worse, yeah, right? Like, there's something being said. There's always going to be feedback about that thing that's interesting, whether it's negative or positive. And you mentioned Kanye. I think he's somebody who's probably done the best job since Michael Jackson when it comes to just branding, where you can see multiple things, right, and associate it with a Kanye. There's like a Yeezy shoe silhouette. There's like a couple of Yeezy shoe silhouettes that you can associate with him. There's an overall style of dress now that you kind of attribute to him. You see somebody with a mask, you know, you can associate it with him. He has a couple of things, man, you know. And then you go to Michael Jackson. Like, oh, moonwalk, that's Michael Jackson. You kick your legs up, that's Michael Jackson. You grab your balls and put them in the air, that's Michael Jackson. You got your hand, it's Michael Jackson. Regular, like, it's so many things. You know what I mean? And I don't think people realize, like, although there's a lot of superstar artists, there's very few that have branded things so strongly in that way, right? Like, I was telling Ja'Cory the other day, I was with my daughter, like, we were making pancakes, and it just so happened, like, you know, she made the main circle and then like made like 2 more circles. Well, I ended up making the 2 more circles and she instantly just said Mickey Mouse. Just seeing 3 circles, like I was like, how powerful that shit is, right? Like to have just 3 circles and you instantly think Mickey Mouse, and nobody else can take that, right? You now got the real estate.
My mouse don't even look like that.
Hey, just like the heart doesn't look like the heart that we use. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, facts, yeah. But that's how powerful branding and just, hey, you can get everybody to agree on it, right? Up there we go. And this is what we mean when we use that, right? That's how words work, right? We all mean this when we say that. So like I think that's what's so intriguing about the idea of branding and what I can kind of like personally like nerd out about, where people, you know, a lot of people look at it more of the commercial capitalist standpoint, but just like when you think about how crazy it is when it really works, it's actually fascinating. But before we talk, I want to talk about some management advice and situations you've been through. But before we get there, because you got an interesting story, bro, on that side of things. I'm sure there's other artists do this, but the way you talk about bartering and leveraging your platform is like nothing I really hear artists talk about. You know, yeah, I don't really hear artists talk about that much. So can you mind sharing that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that have like skills in something else. Like we're all not just like, I hope you're not just solely good at just music. I mean, if you are, that's still like great, like kill it, be to the moon. But there's a lot of people that are jack of all trades, or at least jack of three trades or a couple things. And for me, I feel like I'm really strong in content creation, comedy, music. I can name a bunch, but like, in the creative space that like, what can I serve others with? And I think that's like, honestly, like the first question you should ask yourself when networking, like, how can I help others? You know, how can I help you? Because it's the first thing you do when you meet someone, especially if you're not in LA and you're about to come to LA, like that's the first thing that people hate. Like you come here and the first thing you're doing is asking for something, or my first DM is you asking for something, like that is not going to like help you. There's like mainly because the people that are at the top have been asked that by thousands of people already. So it's like, if you don't find a way for you to be of service to them, well, then one, just don't hit them up yet, and maybe you figure out how you can. Or you can even asking for help is different, but like asking for like a bone is completely like, just don't do that. So for me, when I'm networking, either like I think about like big artists like Pink Sweats, who have opened my DMs before, like in 2019, before I was even anything. And like, I was just genuinely asking for advice. Like I was like, hey, I'm really like inspired by your art and da 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 da, you know? So first off, giving, you know, giving like compliment, giving like making sure he knows like I am inspired by his stuff. And I asked for like, you know, any advice and stuff. And then later he gave me some feedback on some songs. That I think is one route. And then the other route is like, yeah, I hit up people. I'm like, hey, I can do content, or like I noticed like you might need some help with like some editing or this and that. I would love to link up and discuss like some ideas, or I might even just send ideas sometimes without even saying like linking up. Like I'll just be like, hey, I noticed this. Like I think if you do this, it might help. Just, you know, unsolicited advice, but if you want it. Or sometimes I might even ask beforehand, like, hey, if you want some advice, I can give it to you. It does help that like I have been kind of like certified in the field, and like I have a repertoire of like me being successful at content. So then people take my advice more. But I feel like finding a space for that, especially if like you can kind of find holes at like what artists need. So I think that's where I've been able to take advantage, is just like talking to some artists that like have found success in music but haven't found success in content. I can offer and barter and trade with that. So
what about flipping to be on tour with Kyle or other people like that?
So with Bryce, for instance, like I said, like he actually brought it up first, because I was mainly just offering help and I didn't even bring up music. He said, I went and checked out your music, because he saw my page and I was just offering him content help, and he was just like, yeah, I went and checked out your music, I like it, man, like I'll help you in music if you want to help me with content. And that's what happened. So I helped him with stuff, and then he put me on tour. He let me open 4 locations. We've been in the studio many times. He released a song called Margot Robbie that I co-wrote, and I also promoted and have Point on the Masters that A&R'd the whole song. And then we've written some others. I'm working on his album right now. So stuff like that's happened. And then with Kyle, I knew his videographer for like a couple of years. He was following me. And I bought a ticket, like, you know, like sometimes you got to do things. Like I bought a VIP ticket just so I could have an opportunity to talk to him, because like he's an artist that I was really a fan of. And yeah, I bought a VIP ticket, and I told the videographer I was going to be there. And he was like, oh, Kyle wants to do some content. Like, if you have any ideas, let me know. I was like, oh, I do have an idea. You know, I was like, matter of fact, best believe I had an idea before I bought this $100 ticket. and then when I pulled up, I told him, like, hey, I want to do a video where I challenge you in Mario Kart, because I did my research. I saw he loves Mario Kart, Mario, Super Smash Bros., and so on. I mean, he has a song about, you know, Super Smash Bros. But anyway, I brought Mario Kart, brought my Switch, all that. We played, and I said, if I lose, I'll buy 5 pieces of merch. If he wins, or if I win, I get to open on any location of your choice on tour. So that way it's, you know, easy, low stakes. You can let me open in fuck nowhere if you want, you know? So, yeah, that video went well. And he was just like, yeah, I'll let you open regardless. He told me that before we even did the video. And yeah, I actually lost, which was crazy because I was winning the whole game. I was literally like in front of him the whole game, got hit by 2 red shells and a blue shell out of nowhere. I was winning the first 2 laps. Like, it was literally ridiculous. And the video was great for it because my reaction was genuine. I was screaming like, but yeah, I lost. And then, yeah, I ended up opening anyway. I bought 6 pieces of merch. I held my end of the deal. And yeah, so that was a fun experience too. So I think this, like, yeah, being fun, being, someone that people want to be around that isn't just asking for stuff is always like a great way to network and just like end up getting what you want. Cause like, you gotta play a long game. Like, I'm just like, how can I provide for people? How can I be of service? Because everybody else around them is trying to take from them. So that's just my mentality.
What are your thoughts on managers in general?
Man. Definitely, it's really hard to find a manager that rides like 100% believes in you, but also 100% is a hustler. I guess like personality types definitely do matter, because I'm also like sliding in even assistance in that thought process. But just from my experiences with my own managers, as well as people, what I've seen, it's like you want to find a manager that rides, like, that actually believes in your art and you succeeding, and isn't just trying to get a dollar or nothing. And those are always the best, but then it's also better when they are connected and have experience doing it. Like, a new manager is harder. I don't have experience fully with like a new manager. Most of my managers in my past have been like somewhat experienced, but from what I hear from people that have like new managers, it sometimes is like tough. But like, every manager has been a new manager at some point. So that's not a knock to like new managers, but definitely like knowing, like, you want to get that experience and you want to make sure like that ego doesn't get in the way if that's the case. And, you know, like, they're willing to learn from somebody that has experience and so on. Anyway, my own experiences. Trial periods. Do not sign hella quick. Like, figure out what they on. Like, I had a manager lose me a huge deal. I think we had that on a previous interview when I was talking about the my song with Chipotle, Guacamole, and I had a manager hop on, even though I initiated that deal, and he just messed that up. And I've had recently, even last year, I had a different manager hop on in the middle of a deal and out negotiate it because he was trying to get way too much and be hungry and all that. And he has experience. His whole thing was like, I used to manage this, and I was just like, all this ego. Just like, they're not really understanding where I'm at in my position and the money I need. Like, I already got like a good amount agreed on, and they pulled back that budget to zero because he wanted to 5x it on the way. So I guess just like, yeah, like, you need to make sure a manager understands you, they're riding in the corner, they have experience doing some stuff, and if not, they're willing to learn. And like there needs to be a trust system, because like even like some of my best managers, even in acting, like, some of the top ones don't do contracts because it's really like off trust. Like, you know, like, and not to say like don't ever sign a contract, like, we'll worry about contracts later, maybe when you're signing with like a record deal, like the money gets bigger. But it's like, if you don't trust them and they don't trust you, it's like, you want to build that relationship first. So that's very important. So if someone's trying to get you a sign in the first like 2 weeks, like, watch out for that. I would say that.
so much of a legitimate relationship, I feel like, as in the business, the management relationship most closely reflects like a personal relationship with your significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, or whatever. Because again, if the trust isn't there, it's not gonna work regardless, right? And, you know, it's gonna end badly one way or another. And then also, trial periods are nice, date a little bit, you know? Yeah. And I've just seen so many times that where managers will mess stuff up for people. And the biggest part that we don't talk about, and I want to make sure you feel seen, JL, because I don't think enough people talk about this, that people are in your position. We talk about, oh, he's a wealthy man and all these gold diggers are coming for him, or even whatever that might look like if you flip it to the woman's side. What I've noticed, you know, I'm cool with quite a few influencers, you know what I mean? And I've noticed that y'all have management situations that are a little gold digger sometimes, right? Yeah. That y'all are more prone to, oh, this person has all these views as an influencer and you look like a bag to me. All I gotta do is sign you, you're my leverage, and I can flip and get a few deals and get some money up off of other people, all right? They're coming to you with a gold digging mindset, and then they fuck you over as a result.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happened. Yeah, that's happened. Even the management I had before that was like, I remember they try to sign up like my content side, and I was like, first off, I looked at the roster and was like, I'm like your second biggest content creator, and the other girl blew up because of music. Like, no, I'm not gonna sign the content side. We could just do music, and if y'all truly believe that you can like improve my music career, you'll earn off music. But like, you trying to get my content side that I've already built on top of that, like a 360, is ridiculous. Like, you guys haven't done anything for this aspect, and we could do non-exclusive here. Whatever you bring in, you could take a percentage of, but like, you don't need to be taking a percentage of what I'm already doing. Like, that's just crazy. So yeah, definitely have been in that gold digger situation and seeing people like leverage, like, you know, now their full roster looks better because I'm on there, you know? So
that's the whole point. Yep.
You know, be wary of like what their intentions are. And I guess that just boils back down to like the trust and so on. Like, I think it is like, you want to find that sweet spot where, I mean, I don't want to say like, you don't want to be the smallest or you don't want to be the biggest. Like, I mean, I tend to like being one of the smaller artists on someone's roster, but just because that's room for growth, and that means that they have experience at the top. But yeah, I mean, to each their own.
It's funny when you talked about the manager effing you over by like over negotiating too hard. Shout out to my uncle, man. The one that I have multiple, but he knows who he is. I remember, and I can only be so mad at him because I was in his position because of him in the first place. He flew me, my sister, and my brother out to Puerto Rico when I was probably like a senior right after college or something. It was pretty, you know, I was young. And I ran into this guy who was shooting Travel Channel content. And he did the jet skis. I had never been out of the country, let alone like by water like that, and let alone a jet ski. And he was willing to do this really low deal because really he just needed the content, right? Because he, for the Travel Channel. So he wasn't trying to tax like that. It was like $45 for me, my brother, and my sister. So I'm like, oh, bet. Now, $45 ain't a lot of money. However, I told you my age and where I was at the time. I didn't have $45, right? You know, none of us had $45. So we asked my uncle, and like, this man is a hardcore negotiator. That's what he does, like, for, he's made a living off of just negotiating, you know what I mean? And he was just like, what, $45 to get on the phone? He was like, no, man, y'all should be able to do this for free. He needs you, because he... I was like, he needs me. He gets on the phone. He's like, oh, you're not going to do it for free? It's like, all right, we don't need you then. Click. And I just remember the feeling of the click. Like,
oh, damn, we're not getting on those jet skis.
we not getting on those jet skis, bro. That shit hurt so bad, man. But I couldn't say nothing. Like, that's my uncle. And again, this is the reason we're here. But like, the air left my chest for a period. It really hurt. And I can only imagine in some ways, right? Like the Chipotle deal, right? Everything's rolling. And then bam, click.
You literally, you can't negotiate hard unless you're willing to walk away, which is one thing. And sometimes managers don't understand that you're not willing to walk away. Like, you need the money.
You're good. I'm not good, bruh.
They're willing to walk away.
Dude, you done lived a full life, been to like 20 countries.
I got rent to pay. Yeah. I need this deal. Bro, I'll be candid with the numbers too, because like this was ridiculous. This last one that happened in 2023. Like I already they hit me up because Guacamole blew up again, which by the way, I always say it. That song is like my mood by Doja Cat. Don't take me seriously. If you're gonna listen to that song, listen to my other tracks too. Like it is my goofy track that like it's just brandy and all that stuff. But yeah, anyway, that song took off and like a few brands hit me up like to see the song, but this other brand that I won't name hit me up. They wanted me to make their own song, like not even Guacamole. They just liked the song, wanted me to make them their own song. We negotiated, got agreed on 30K. Great number. Like, you know, like, mind you, yes, it can be more. And I understand that. But it's also a great deal. I need that money. So I'm like, cool. Like this is like healthy. It's good. Like, it's like, yes, there's things that are 100K, six figures and more. Like, I understand that. But we agreed on it. We were working on the song for like months because like revisions, like all this stuff. I had it done in like the first 2 weeks, but like revisions on lyrics and then another revision and so on. So we got it done. And then when the new year hit, we were about to like, you know, officially like send over the final version. This new manager that I just met was like, oh, I worked at Sony for 10 years and da 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 and all this experience, like name dropped a bunch of freaking artists that he's worked with, all this. He's like, I already know you should be getting like six figures on this. I was like, I know, but I need this money. He's like, oh, well, let me try and get you more. This man hops on the email chain, right? And I invite him on the email chain. He was sent the most aggressive paragraph I had ever seen, not even proofread by me. And I was like, yo, what the? The most aggressive email of like, this is how much we're like, this is why we need this much money. And we're not taking 30. Pretty much. and that company was like, yo, like what? Because they never bought a song. The fact that they were doing 30 was a big investment for them. So like, yes, they don't understand that, like, yes, my manager was kind of right in a way. Like he was, like the things he was saying, like, if you guys want to use this for radio and this in perpetuity, like six figure deal. But like, in reality, it's like, I need that money. And their counter was, oh, there's fireworks again. Their counter was, hey, we're just going to back out entirely. Mind you, I already invested. I bought the song from the producer, all this stuff. Mm. I was out of pocket. I was like, ain't no way this is going to go down like this. And the manager was just like aggressive. I literally removed him from the chain. I apologized. Like, hey, sorry, I just brought him in. They thought it was fake. They thought I was trying to like email like through a side email and I was trying to be aggressive too. So I was like, no, like I need to like talk to them. You know, sent an audio message on IG the original way they hit me up. Oh, like, look, honestly, like, this is what happened. Da, 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 da. I got the deal back at half. But that all to say, the manager messed me up. And it's like, I didn't even need to bring him in. It was already a signed deal for 30K that I ended up getting half for.
This is a real conversation. I'm glad you coming here with it, man. How many times have we seen managers come into situations that existed before them and they just feel like they got to show their worth, man. And they started kicking shit around. It's like, dog.
Like, here ain't the place, man.
You think I learned my lesson? Because the same thing happened with Chipotle. Like,
that is on you, bro. That's all right. But like, for real, like, I see that time and time again. It's like they're there and they feel like they have to show their worth and they're moving on something where it's like, no, you bring me new stuff. These situations, because I already established a relationship here, you're going to mess up a relationship I already have. Right? Like, that's not even a smart manager to come in and immediately just make these massive changes on stuff that you weren't a part of, man. And I hate that for you. Like you said, you learned your lesson, though. So I go,
I mean, it happened twice. So if it happens again, fuck the peace sign. Pull the chopper.
Oh man. No, I mean, it's really crazy though. We've seen that. And then sometimes it works on people's favor if there's enough coming in where, you know, we first started getting hit with it like super hard early TikTok, bro, be like $300. And then 2 days later, oh, I just got new management, $2,000. And it's like, yo, but we've been like building for like a minute now. How you going to, like, at least let us finish this post that we agreed on or do one more post or something, like, half our way up to it. But nah, like, they'll be managers, like, this is the hard line. And they, I mean, look, maybe it works for them in enough in their situations where net, they're good. But
if they're willing to walk away from it.
You're a casualty, though. Yeah, but you become a casualty of what they're willing to walk away from.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You can only negotiate hard if you're willing to walk away. And people think like they can negotiate hard and force people to pay the money. And it's like, no, that's not the case. Like, in the reality is like, especially if their numbers have already been put out, like you can't negotiate that hard. And mind you, like that was a we were building that relationship. That was just the music side. We were already negotiating more money for the content side. Now it's like I got half of the original offer and we're not doing anything else. So like it was just like he could have played the long game, played the like the relationship well, and like really like you know made them feel happy about the song. And like now it's like they feel like they just did it because of my costs, because I came back and said, hey, I spent this much money. I had to show invoices of how much I've already spent. And they were like, they didn't want to be assholes, so they just
it's not a legit relationship because they don't feel safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like to use like not even in like a fluffy, you know, social media term, like they legit don't feel like, can I trust this situation? What is he gonna do? Is somebody like, oh, well, yeah, like JO seems to still be cool, but the manager's still the manager. Are they gonna come back out the fence and start barking at me
Right.
again? And now you got me thinking about stuff. And here's the thing, especially under like dealing with people outside of the music industry, like, you know, the managers or just a lot of people like to come from this, or even lawyers would like to come from a perspective of, oh man, they're trying to screw you over. And a lot of times, like you said, this might be their first foray. They don't even know half of this stuff. So now you got me thinking about all kind of risks that I didn't know I was getting involved in. Do I even want to be involved with this artist? I didn't know that was a thing. Like that's this is a way deeper relationship. Like, bro, I thought this was date number two. You talking about getting married right now. This is crazy. Like, it's I don't think people understand that, man. Like, you have to be aware, and that's really the sign of like, you know, just great business and nuance. You have to be able to read people and the situation. Like, you are not the same in every single market. Like, yes, you can go to this business and get 100K. You can go to music and they're gonna give you nothing and still try to own all of you. You can go to another company, right? And they might have 5K, right? And that's just your worth in that particular market. And your worth does not apply the same over every market, even like major companies. When I'm in selling in Africa versus Brazil versus America, and which city in America, like you might have to tax a little bit differently given the circumstance. That's all it is.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like doing your research too. It's like you can look up most companies, especially in America, like their gross income, and looking at like, you know, 1 to 2% of that's probably their marketing spend, and being like, all right, that's their spend for the year. Like, what are they gonna be willing to pay you for a song or for this campaign, you know, and use that to kind of gauge like where you want to put your rates at, especially if they're not willing to give you a budget first. But yeah, that's what we kind of did with these companies when we came up with those numbers. And like they did say yes to that 30 real quick. Like, I'm being honest, like they said yes to that 30 real fast. And we're like, damn, okay. Like, cause this was a number that we're like, hey, based on like this, how much you guys make, like this, how much songs would cost, like anywhere from the 50 to 100K range if you're doing commercial stuff and all that. Like, let's just, so sometimes it works out when you like get that right number for them that also works for you. So, yeah, it's crazy.
2% of their how their profit, is that what you said? How you
Yeah,
rate
it's
that?
kind of like it was actually JC. I was mentioning him before the thing. JC, one of my managers, he kind of like he knows that because he used to work with like a bunch of people on NDA, but he used to work with like a bunch of major brands and stuff that we know. And he was saying like being able to like look at, for instance, I won't use that brand. Let me use a brand that I don't work with. let's say Walmart. Let's say Walmart profits, and we'll just make up a number, $10 billion a year. And that means like around 2% is probably their marketing spend, at least, if not more. That would be what, 200 million, right? Am I that accurate? Something like that. So like that's their spend per year. And if this is a huge campaign, like yeah, maybe you can get away with 106 figures very easily, probably, if it makes sense. Like, you know, like because that budget's being spread out and it's a write-off for them. So it really just depends what the campaign is and how important that campaign is. If you're one of like 60 artists on it, like okay, that number might have to go down because maybe they're just doing 100K for like this month, or like you could divide that by the months and see like what are they averaging per month and so on. And yeah, you can kind of gauge it because that's also like their ads. You got to think about like their TV ads and all that stuff. It's not just content marketing at 1 or 2%. So you got to really put all that into factor and be like, okay, what is the actual budget here? But companies like Walmart are probably coming to you with a budget already. So they're not asking you to be like, hey, what's your rate? But depends, really.
That's funny dealing with those companies because, yeah, the budget is the budget. Straightforward, but the numbers usually going to be nice and big. So you're like, oh, well, yeah. I'm happy.
Or they're pulling back because they spend a lot on TV. Like, honestly, the companies that pay the most have always been the midsize for me. Yeah, little hack. But, like, I guess maybe because they're focused more on the content than TV. Or I don't know why, but it's just, like, the midsize companies have a lot of money and they're still trying to, like, well, get themselves.
You're the there. Advantage, man. That's what it is. Like, I can't beat the companies bigger than me on those bigger, like, more competitive shelf spaces. I have to find the alternative route. Like, the social is the alternative route to the TV and primary spaces that Walmarts are killing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
One more thing about management. Like, you said trial period. I want to speak, if you could speak a little bit more about the trial period, like a test period, and then also exclusive and non-exclusive.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to be non-exclusive on the music side, I will say that. So, like, I like to separate that also from my content. I would just separate different aspects of me. I'm an actor, musician, main two, and then content creator. So it's like, I like to have all three of those separate. And yeah, I could talk to someone that specialized, my two manager go, or one manager go, they did content and music at the same time. That's what they wanted to do. But like, that also ended up still, we were done at the trial period. But yeah, you definitely want to, like, maybe at least 3 months where you see what they can do for you. Honestly, it's like kind of like recruiting for college basketball. Like, these scouts are gonna, you know, get you some nice thing, get you some nice gear. You know, they might throw some money under the table. No, that's illegal, but they're not doing, managers aren't going to pay you, but like, you know, they might like smooth and see what they show you what they can do early on. And that's very important to know, like, what are they capable of? Cause if they can't even do that in the smooth period, like, what are they going to do after that? So that's also very important. You know, like, I got, like, in my smooth period, I got like a bunch of free clothes from Fashion Nova, some stuff from like Puma and like all this stuff getting, you know, sent to me. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, this seems like a comfortable era, you know? So, and not like that's going to be common for everybody's experience. Like, if they're like, you know, organizing your life or showing you like that they're actually better in advancing you, then that's something to consider also, like, you know, in that smooth period or whatever. So yeah.
I don't know if I like the smooth period, man.
I mean,
the way you're talking,
you want to go cold turkey in it?
No, I'm just thinking about it should almost be ignored, I feel like, for artists. And because I know enough of the game to know how it's all lies. Just like you could rent a car, you know what I mean? Like, you go out of town, you're at the beach, and you and your boys rent a car. You got your best outfit on that you would never have on back home, right? It could be a complete lie, and you could be considering them versus a manager that is like, hey, man, like, this is what it is. This is how I am. And they're not giving you any fluff, but everything there is substance, but their intentions are more in line as well. Like, when I move, I move. It's not any fluff to distract you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, same thing with the colleges. Like, you know, like, yeah, you're getting schmooze and you get this free stuff. But let's say, like, you know, you're talking to Virginia State and they seem real, while USC's over here fluffing and puffing and it seems fake. Like, yeah, you're gonna have to suss out the situation. I say, like, definitely explore options is the important part, so that way you can find that one school or manager that is like the one, you know, that makes sense and isn't like bullshitting. Because like, sometimes the smooth is cool and it's like, it is like real, like, it's not like just fake and like them doing this is like, they have a roster and they've shown like they've done this in the past.
I'll say it's the difference between schmooze and like, nah, this is just the world that you'll be entering, and I'm so much on that level,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you're seeing what that would look like, right? But you have to be able to, like you said, suss out like what's real and what's not, or did I just gather all my resources for the day? You know what I'm saying? and pull them out. Yeah, I get, like, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to say, man, ain't nothing wrong with Cheesecake Factory, bro.
I love Cheesecake Factory. That's my spot. You know, one of my favorite drinks ever is actually at Cheesecake Factory. It's the Whiskey Smash.
A whiskey smash?
Yeah, they don't make, they make a whiskey smash everywhere, but the one at Cheesecake Factory tastes like candy. Like, it will get you drunk and you can't even tell there's alcohol in it. It is my favorite drink. It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
That sound wild, bro. A whiskey's. What do you think?
Don't take me to Cheesecake Factory.
Don't take you to Cheesecake
don't
Factory?
Don't take me to Cheesecake Factory.
Hey, man.
I'm on the side of the internet.
You supposed to do the taking, bro.
No, man. No.
Oh, Ja'Cory's the prize.
Yeah, bro.
We got to leave the diva alone, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You don't like it? Well, what's your spot?
Like, but on that same level? Or just in general? I don't think I got a spot. I ain't gonna lie. I just kind of wing it. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Like every new date is a new experience. You know what I'm saying?
gotta keep his attention, bro.
Yeah, bro. Gotta, you know what I'm saying? Keep me on my toes. That's what I do.
Oh man, and look, and that's how we know it's time to get up out of here, bro. J-O, appreciate you being on the pod, man. I'm Brandman Sean.
I'm Corey.
And we out.
Peace.